Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Well, this afternoon, we're going to be pushing deeper into the look into what Jesus called the greatest commandment. So amazing to me that when Jesus was asked, how would you summarize and sum up everything that God had revealed in what was for him at the time, the Bible, we might call it the Old Testament today, this is what he said. He said, to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love others as yourself. That's it. That's the greatest commandment. That's capturing everything that God has revealed. And we're gonna go deeper into this today by looking at something that was said and written by the man who was known as Jesus' beloved disciple, also known as John. And we're reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. It's a little longer portion of the scripture, but well, quite frankly, it's so good, it's worth looking at. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. But we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, verse 7, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, as we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God that he has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. All right. When Becky and I, my wife Becky and I, when we were young Christians many, many years ago, we were both a part of church communities where the songs that we were singing in worship, almost all the songs that we sang, the content and the lyrics from those songs came directly from the Bible. So we had a songbook called the Scripture and Song, and we sang a lot of Scripture songs, right? And one of those Scripture songs actually comes from this passage that I just read. So I'm going to ask Becky to come at this point, and she is going to assist me. And together, we're going to sing a scripture song from 1 John.
Okay. Hi.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Unaccompanied. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8.
One more time.
One more time.
Okay, now we're going to do it again, and you join us. Try. If you know it, you may already know it. I know Judy knows it up there.
Here we go.
Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8.
Boom. First John 4:7-8. You don't forget it. You don't forget it. You know, as John begins this short little letter called 1 John, it's in your Bible in the New Testament, I think it's great the way he begins because he's making this connection with himself, who actually, he and his fellow apostles who actually knew Jesus, right? They walked with him, they lived, they knew him, the real live Jesus. But he's writing this letter to a group of people who had never really known Jesus. They weren't there then. Maybe they weren't born yet or didn't live in Judea at the time. So so what John is saying to them, and the way this begins, he says, you know, what we are saying to you is that we saw God when we saw Jesus. We heard God's voice when we saw Jesus. We touched God when we touched Jesus. And we came away convinced that the God that we thought that we knew, the God of our Bible, the Old Testament, and the God of our faith is a God of love. Having met Jesus, having touched him and heard him and experienced him, Jesus having come from God, Jesus being God, we have come to the conclusion that God is love. You know, the author C.S. Lewis writes quite a bit on love, and one of the things he says is that he said, we often want to believe that love is the equivalent of your older grandfather type person who's just going to make sure at the end of the day everybody had a really nice time. That love is God saying to the whole world, don't worry guys, at the end of the day, I'm going to make sure everybody had a really nice time. In other words, that love is nice. That love is another way of saying that God is nice. But as you look into this, you realize that there's there an aspect of the warmth that we most commonly associate with love, but you also see that in Christ, this is a much more robust love and definition of love and understanding of what love is. It's not romantic love. We most of us would know what that is and be able to recognize it. This isn't even the love that exists between a parent and their child, or a love that exists between really good friends. There's a word here, you'll see it in Greek, and it gets used in the New Testament, called agape. And while that word was around way before the New Testament was written, New Testament believers and writers like took that word and began to infuse it with meaning because they said, this word means what we saw when we saw Jesus. We saw this love in him. We saw agape love in him. And again, I can't help but smile when I read and hear myself say even the word agape, because we talked a lot about this way back in the early 70s. We're always talking about agape back in the day. And we should be talking about it today. That's why we are. To say God is love is, by the way, not to say that love is God. And sometimes we get that confused. God is love, but love is not God. And what you see as you allow the life of God in the person of Jesus to basically define love for us, as he lived his life, you see what love is. Love is not a subject, it's not a noun as much as it is an experience. It's a lived out kind of thing that we recognize it because what it's doing and the choices that love is making. So, for example, just looking at the love of the life of Jesus and the life of those who followed him, love is trusting. Love is trusting in the testimony of Jesus. Living your life in such a way, loving God means, and love means I trust in the testimony that comes through the person of Jesus. Love is keeping away from idols. Right now, some of us come from cultures where an idolatry and idols are actually literally a real thing. Others, maybe not so much, but not that idolatry still isn't a real thing. So if you're not sure, an idol is anything other than God, Father, Son, and Spirit, which we offer to explain why we're here, where we come from, the meaning of life, where we are going, and our identity. If we are looking to something or someone else other than God to help us know and define why we're here, where we came from, the meaning of life, where we're going, and what is our identity, we're probably into idolatry. Because only God, the one and true God, can really define these things and know what they are for us. And love is turning away from idols and toward the one who was and is to come. Love is the life of God. Love is opening up our hearts in an unguarded way to God himself. You know, there's a familiar verse in the Bible that talks about guarding your heart. Well, this is the opposite of that. It's looking to God with an unguarded heart. I am open to the Father. I'm just completely opened up to the Father as he speaks, as I experience him, as I read about him, as I read about him in his word, as I come to worship him, as I come to pray before him and we talk together. My heart is completely open to him. Nothing held back. And this is love. This is what love is. This is the definition of love. Love is offering the same creative, life-giving, other-centered love to other people just the way Jesus did. That's what love is. That's the definition of love. Love is the thing that grounds our entire life when we realize that God loves us despite our flaws and our failures and that we have overcome the world because of the love of Christ in us. Author Scott McKnight said something that has really stuck with me as I read this and then stayed with me now for a while, that for most of us, and myself included, that when we start talking about the love of God, it's not so difficult for most of us to get it intellectually or academically. To have someone like me explain that God is love, you know, it's going into our ear gate, it's running through our brains, our minds, and we can get our heads wrapped around it. That's not our challenge. Our challenge is not an academic one. It's not that you don't understand the words that I'm speaking today. Our challenge is to experience the God of love, and to know yourself to be loved by the Father. That's our challenge. It's not intellectually understanding it. It's to walk in and live in and know yourself to be, from head to toe, fully loved by the Father. I've been following Jesus for many, many years, and I've been taught this truth for all those years. But I got to tell you, every now and then, it just comes to me out of the from the side, or I don't know, you know, like, and I realize once again that I don't know that I'm really fully walking in my awareness that I am loved by the Father. And something will happen, and I'll experience something, or I'll read something in the Bible, or I might be praying, or someone will say something to me in a way that just kind of opens something up, and I realize, wow, there's a love from the Father that I'm not experiencing. I'm not walking in, or I've forgotten. So I have to be reminded again and again and again that I am loved by God. You know what love is because when you needed it to give, you had it to give. You know what love is because when you needed it to give, you had it to give. This series of talks in the 40 days in Jesus, in the Jesus Creed, or 40 days in loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving each other as ourselves. This is our response, Shanghai Community Fellowship, this community, this is our response at this time to come and discover our first love. That's what we're doing. As John wrote about love, remember, he's writing to a community of people that have just experienced a very significant disagreement. This is a small group of people who all knew each other. They'd been friends for years. They loved each other. They were great friends, great friendships. They'd been through a lot together. They were tight. There was a close bond between them. And what had happened, they'd just come through this time of separation. Some people said, I'm out of here. I don't agree with you anymore. And they started pulling away. And so John is writing about love in this kind of a context. And he's challenging them and yet comforting them, answering these questions with love. How do you love someone who has hurt you or has hurt others that you love? How do you love someone that you disagree with or disagrees with you? This is the context of love. This is where love becomes real. This is where love lives. Because love isn't a noun, it's not a subject, it's a choice, it's the way we live. The love of Christ in us, being loved and loving others. Anyone can love the lovely, right? Don't you love people that love you? I mean, it's okay to say yes, I do. Yeah, I say, yeah, of course, I love people who love me. As I've said fondly over the years, I've been loved and I've been hated. But, you know, being loved is a lot better. I'm just saying. I'm just, my own personal experience, being loved was a whole lot better than being disliked. It's nice to be loved, and it's easy to love the people that love us, of course. But it's the messy people who disappoint us or leave us, which stresses our love and points us toward a love that is not natural to our old nature, but is natural to the person that we have become in Christ. To love. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. 1 John 4:7-8. Love is something then we must confess. You know, a confession is more than just words. I mean, a lot of times that's the context we use the word confession in. We make a confession, and what we're implying is that we're going to say something right now. I'm going to confess something, and what we expect next to happen is that someone's going to say something. But words or confession is more than words. It's also something that we do. We confess with our love. We confess with our words, and we confess with our love. And it's not an either or, but a both and. I make my confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the words that I speak, Jesus is Lord and has come from the Father. He died on a cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose again on the third day, and he ever liveth even now and makes intercession for me. He is the source of salvation for the world, and his blood has covered us. This is my confession, but my confession also includes my love. And to put it bluntly and directly, imagine myself calling myself a Christian who gave the right confession but did not have love. Doesn't make sense, does it? It's like that doesn't seem to go together. He's got all the right words. He's got it nailed down. He knows what to say. He's got it spot on, as they say. But there's no love. What's wrong? Something's wrong here. Something you have to love like faith, if it is real, must confess itself. And the best time to do that is when it's not the best time. The best time to confess our love. Secondly, God is unseen, but it's the people that we can see that we must love. Don't miss these strong statements here from 1 John 4 that we read them, and there was a lot there. I know you're going to have to go back and look at it again, but I just picked out a few of them. There's a lot of very strong statements in those verses, but here's a few of them. Number one, the ability for Christians to love one another, it comes from God. If you're going to try to work up some kind of loving feeling, you know, going on here, you know, like you're probably going to come really short often. You know, just kind of work something up. That kind of love, this kind of love, to love each other and love others like this, as Jesus would have us do, and God loves, that's coming from him. He's asked us to do it, and he's going to supply the love that we need. For God is love, and he has an unending supply of love, unlike me and you. Secondly, another strong statement from this paragraph was, it is only by loving others that we can experience the love of God in our own heart. And this is not an option. All right, key word there is only. It's only by loving others. Oh, I want to know the love of God. I just don't want to love anybody. bring on the love. Bucket loads of love. I just want to know the love of Jesus. I just don't want to love you. That's the thing. Okay. It doesn't work that way. This is not an option. It is the way. It's the way. Third statement, still a strong statement. Our relationships must be defined and then redefined by our Father, who is love. You think about every relationship you're in. People you know casually, people you're close to, people you're related to. Every relationship we're in must be defined and then redefined over and over again by our Father, who is love. There's a triangle here that is set up by God where you've got God and me, or you, and others, right? And what's cool about this is that God is not only part of the process, he brings the love so the whole thing works. He brings the love, and then he initiates the love from himself to me, to others, and others to God, and it all goes just like that. And Jesus gives us the perfect example. He humbled himself, he served others, and he forgave. Often, when we are being made or asked to make a choice to love, it's going to be in one of these three areas: to humble ourselves, to serve, and to forgive. The third point is going to be covered by Dave next week: loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. So come back next Sunday. Dave's going to talk about loving our brothers and sisters. As we wrap things up and get ready to move closer to the communion table, probably at the very center of this teaching that John gives us today is that love pushes out fear. Love pushes out fear. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Fear and love are not the same thing, and cannot, for any length of time, occupy the same space, because they're opposites to each other. Fear and love meet at the cross, but not for a stalemate. Like, okay, I guess you win, no, you win, we're just going to have to coexist now going forward. Fear and love meet at the cross. They had a big fight, but nobody won, and now fear and love just carry on together. No. Love overcomes fear. Love overcame fear on the cross. And now perfect love casts out fear, not just on the cross, but right here, in me. Including our greatest fear, which the Bible is telling us is death and final judgment. Love living in us pushes the fear out. And when all fear is gone and love completely fills the space that is me, then love has reached its goal. If there is ever a person who walked on this earth in whom love was perfected and all fear banished, it was Jesus. And Jesus is a real person. He's threatened, you know. He's alone. He's challenged. Just every human experience that you can possibly imagine, every human experience that you could imagine filling you or me up with fear, Jesus walked in that, and yet the love of Christ in Christ gives him the authority and presence to walk and live in a way where love has completely filled him. He was never afraid. It can be done. It can be done. With Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory, pushing out his love, pushing out our fears. In the face of judgment, when we know ourselves to, as we are truly known, the Bible would say, we will be standing before the face of Christ. We will be before the face of love. And every month, because we choose to do it this way, we bring out a table, and on that table are a cup and a wafer of bread. And in the broken bread and the symbols of the broken bread and the cup of the Lord, we once again look into the face of love. And it's a face of love and an expression of love that is looking at you. My hope for you is that at least once in your life, someone that you knew looked at you like that. They just loved you. That's it. No conditions, no ifs, no ands, no buts. They just love you. And if you've never experienced that, then I know someone who actually does see you that way. And that's God. No ifs, ands, or buts, no conditions. He just loves us. He just loves you. Wow. Come to the table. You're going to be served in a few moments. And take the cup, take the bread, confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess him with your words. Confess him with your love in response to his love. We love because he first loved us. We'll take this cup and we'll take this bread. And it's like we're living out the truth of that. I'm taking the love of Christ. I'm taking the love of God in my hands. And I respond in love to him.